reading Zechariah chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered, and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he that shall bring forth the headstone thereof, but with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace, unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. This is a wonderful chapter about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. The time of Zechariah's prophecy is in the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord. I'm looking at the wrong book. Zechariah chapter 1. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius. So this is now we're in the eighth month of the second year, and it joins on from Haggai chapter 1, which was the prophecy in the sixth month of the second year. Chapter 1, verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month. And it is an exhortation for Zerubbabel and the people to resume the building of the temple. Do you remember at the time of Cyrus, it was appointed to be built, and then there was a lot of trouble with people resisting the building of the temple, rebuilding of the temple, the enemies coming up and stopping it, and then it was restarted in the reign of Darius the Mede, who followed on from Cyrus. So we have, this is the scenario of that rebuilding, and I think it's very helpful because just as the temple was being rebuilt in Zechariah's day, and Zerubbabel needed encouragement for this work, so we are seeing the building of Christ's church in our day. And we can see the similarities, we can see the opposition to it, we can see the temptations to give up. We can wonder how we can achieve this object with our meagre resources. No doubt these were questions as well that came to Zerubbabel. And note too that Zerubbabel was not spoken to directly in a dream. It was Zechariah the prophet who was spoken to. Now it may be right that Zerubbabel is And Zerubbabel being the king, at that, as it were, at that time, the head of the civil head of Jerusalem, as opposed to Joshua, who was the high priest. These look as though they could have been the two anointed ones being referred to later on, the two olive trees, which fed the work of God. Nevertheless, it wasn't to them, to Joshua, and it wasn't to Zerubbabel that the Lord spoke, but he spoke to the prophet Zechariah. You might wonder, well, what place do I have in God's house to rebuild it? I am but a very insignificant part. Well, in the New Testament, we are all prophets, priests, and kings. God has a role for all of us. He didn't communicate this prophecy to the two leaders individually. He went through Zechariah, the prophet. And note that Zechariah was spoken to after he'd been asleep. I have to say, I often find that the Lord speaks to me, either when I've just woken up or even when I sleep. I think that's not an encouragement for us to sleep, I have to hasten to add. I think what one can say, though, is that the Lord can't speak to us when our flesh is at work. See, the natural mind knoweth not the things of God. How often do we try and work things out in our natural minds? We can come up with plans. I'll be honest with you, I've come up with plans even in the last few days. Plans about how we're going to spend the next few days, even as a church, how we're going to get things done. And so often we don't get things quite right in our own natural understanding. We need the Lord to intervene, to reveal things to us. And so we need our flesh to be quiet. We need our natural mind to stop working so that we can hear from the Lord. How often do we allow ourselves to make our own plans? I think of James, who says, you know, that we'll go to this city or that city. We shouldn't say we'll go to this city or that city, but if the Lord will, we will go. How many of us really commit our plans and our days to the Lord from beginning to end? Or how many of us have decided already how we're going to spend our time and will not be moved, whatever the pressures might be? Well, this prophet had a very unusual vision. He saw a candlestick, a golden candlestick with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps on it. Well, that was the traditional, I think, is it called? I forgive me if I've got it. So is it the Hanukkah candle? I've forgotten what it's called. Someone might be able to tell me. Anyway, it's a candle that sat in the temple. It's got those seven branches. It's sort of the outer ones look like that. And then you have them inside, all coming down into the same point. Well, that was the picture that he saw. And then there were two olive trees by it, one on the right side and one on the left side, and they were feeding oil into a receptacle that was keeping the lamps burning. Of course, I don't need to tell us the importance of having oil in our lamps. We've got the parable of the virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins, in Matthew chapter 26 to remind us of that, haven't we? But, of course, who was feeding the oil into those lamps was quite important. And, again, it's a lesson for us as well. It was those two olive trees that were stood beside this candlestick. It reminds us, doesn't it, that God does not expect us to keep our lamp burning on our own. He provides the grace that we need to keep going. How does he provide that grace? Well, in this in Zechariah's case, they were the two anointed ones standing by the Lord of the earth. Well, I take it, and I think I would tend towards the commentaries that say that this was Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest. This was the civil ruler and the ruler of the high priest in the temple, the religious ruler. And God does, for the church to prosper, you need both the civil magistrate to facilitate the work of God, but you also need to have pastors who can feed the people of God. How are we being fed? Unless we are being fed by God's word, then we're not going to grow. We're not going to keep oil in our lamps, are we? Well, Zerubbabel had huge challenges to overcome, didn't he? He had the challenges that came from people who were wanting to prevent this temple being built. People in high places who were able to stop this work. Well, friends, we've experienced something similar here, haven't we? How easy it is for us to resort to the arm of the flesh. How easy it is to think, well, we'll go to the newspapers. We'll take legal action. We'll use powerful friends that we know. Well, I'm sure it was exactly the same for the Jews at that time. Is that the way to see God's work built? Well, plainly, it wasn't. The message to be communicated to Zerubbabel is in verse 6. Then he said, answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. There was a mountain that needed removing, the opposition to the building of the temple. When you think about it, you have the rebuilding of the temple, it is lying in ruins. You might ask, where do we start? Not only where do we start, but how are we going to overcome the opposition? Everyone is against us. But it's maybe a surprising answer, but it's an answer that we can identify with, I think, today. Not by might, nor by power. It's not by assembling all the great men of Israel, not by courting the enemy armies that could build it in a moment. Of course, it was God's temple, and not anybody could build it. Only those who understood the layout of the temple that was set out in the Old Testament scriptures. They were the only ones who could rebuild that temple. And so it is with us. Who can rebuild the work of God? Those who understand God's words and God's ways. Nobody else. Those who have the Spirit of God. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. How was it that the Lord enabled this work to be built? It wasn't by might or power. Interestingly, it was by might and power that the temple was destroyed, wasn't it? The temple was destroyed by the Babylonians at the beginning of the 70-year exile. That was soldiers who did that. They destroyed it by power. By might and by power. But it wasn't going to be rebuilt by might and by power. It wasn't going to be the same soldiers for the reasons we've already indicated. They wouldn't have known how to do it anyway. Now, the work of God is built in the Spirit, in the power of God's Spirit. Problems are overcome in the Spirit. See, it just took the Lord to speak to Cyrus. And you remember in where it is in Isaiah? Would you just bear with me a moment and I find it? I think it's around about Isaiah 45, if I remember correctly. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Cyrus was chosen by God to rebuild the temple. It was a work of grace by God to Cyrus that made Cyrus inclined towards rebuilding the temple. See, God works in the human heart. He doesn't need great armies to achieve his will. He doesn't need great legal minds. He will move in the hearts of people. What he needs from his people is faith. Faith in his word. Faith in his promises to do what he says he will do. Verse 7, who art thou, O great mountain? Remember some months ago now, I preached on God as our high tower. You see, when we're in the tower of God, when we are in Christ, we are lifted up in heavenly places with Christ, aren't we? We can look down at our enemies, and they really are insignificant, aren't they? When we look down upon them from the top of our high tower. But it's only as we look down in faith upon our enemies that we can see that. And it would only have been as Zerubbabel was able to look down from that high tower that he was in, that he could see that actually the rebuilding of the temple was not difficult at all. Just as it was Elisha's servant who had to have his eyes open to see the horses and chariots in the mountains surrounding them when they were facing trouble from, I think it was the Syrians, I may be wrong about that, but you know the passage I'm talking about. We need to understand the forces that are ranged on our side that we can't see that will ensure that we have victory. So going back to verse 7. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Well, I guess the headstone is talking about the foundation stone for the work of the temple. The headstone being laid, the temple being built at the hands of Zerubbabel. It says that in verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. The Lord Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And he says in Philippians chapter 1, if you just like to turn there. I'm just looking for the verse that says, he who has begun a good work will bring it to... Yes, in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work will perform it. The Lord Jesus has begun a good work here, hasn't he? We might feel that we are facing certain mountains that stand in the way of progress. How are these to be removed? Well, it's in the same way as it was for Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power. In our case, not by human argument. But by the moving of God's Spirit. And so where does that drive us? It drives us to prayer more than it drives us to study. Study is important. Marshalling the arguments that might be needed in the battle. But prayer is what moves the hand of God to do the miracles of God Are we looking to God to give us the victory in the mountains that need moving for this work to go forward? And, well, just moving on verse by verse. Just in verse 7, the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." God has given us grace, hasn't he, to do his work. Grace is around us. Grace is found in his word. Grace is found in the place of prayer. We come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, God will complete the work he's finished. He started, rather. In verse 10, it's so easy, isn't it, for us to think, surely we should be growing quicker than we are. Verse 10 tells us, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Then answered I and said unto him, "What are these two olive trees?" Well, who has despised the day of small things? "For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." It is God's word that provides the plummet line for our building, for the building of the work of God, isn't it? And when we run into the problems that we cannot deny exist, how are we to overcome them? What is to be the measure by which the work of God goes up? Well, just as Zerubbabel held the plummet line, so we have the plummet line of God's word. And we measure everything by God's word to make sure that as the building goes up, it goes up true and doesn't have a false foundation. God's word is not interpreted privately. None of us can say, "Well, the Lord has shown me that the word of God means this." Well, of course God can show us what the word means. I don't mean to say that God does not reveal the truths of his word to us, but those truths can always be challenged by us all consulting the scripture together. God will never reveal to me a so-called truth of scripture that is contradicted by another verse of scripture. If we go down that route, we will find that we are being led by another spirit. And it's actually nothing different to Gnosticism, where we are believing in special revelation. But we don't have that. We have a plumb line of God's word that is an open book for us to use as our handbook to lead us into all truth. Let's not despise the day of small things just because things happen slowly. Remember that second temple that people despised had more glory than the former temple, Haggai tells us. And why is that? It's because the Lord Jesus went into that temple. That when he died on the cross, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. Because the way into the most holy of holies was laid open. Instead of just the high priest being able to go in once a year, it was open for all to go in through the blood of Christ that had been shed on the cross. So what seemed to be despised, because it wasn't as good as the previous one, was actually better, because it provided a permanent access that didn't need reopening year by year by the sacrifice of the high priest. What we can't see with our natural eye is nevertheless present in the eyes of faith. And then answered I, verse 11, said, "What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side?" And I answered again and said unto him, "What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. You see that Zechariah had about him the spirit of inquiry. And I hope that we have the spirit of inquiry as well. And when we aren't answered first time, we should press on with our inquiry, just as Zechariah did. Do you struggle with the understanding of God's word or other aspects relating to your role in Christ's body? Well, ask and ask again until you get your answer. Notice that there were two questions, two different questions. One more general question. What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side? It wasn't actually what he really needed to know about. The olive trees were less important than the branches that were pouring oil in to the candlestick and giving them light. And that's his second question. What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And we just then discover in verse 14 the answer. These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. See, God's ministers are part of the olive tree, aren't they? We're all grafted in to the olive tree. None of us can survive outside it. We should be providing oil for others. Certainly God's ministers are there to provide oil, aren't they? To help us, by God's Spirit, to understand God's word. And so build us up in our faith. Of course, the Lord Jesus has brought perhaps the most important oil to our lives as Christians in his blood shed on the cross for us. And his Holy Spirit brings those truths to our hearts and strengthens us for the work that we have to do. Friends, just returning then to verse 6. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord to strangers rest, isn't it? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the message for us today in the work that we have. The short term and the long term. Whatever the problem, the Lord has the answer.
Amen.
We do not. Amen. I'm afraid I can't stop. I can't remember the password. Thank you.
Have the
hymns
and not by.
No, that's right. No. I need to leave. Have phone the recording. Sorry. Thank you.
Password.
Okay. Yeah. Something
going on. Oh.